Welcome to All Sides with Anna Staver. The holidays are just around the corner, which means time is running out to find that perfect gift for the special someone on your list. Which is why our Fascinating Ohio show has a twist this holiday season. Throughout the month of December, we've been highlighting Ohio makers, people who create locally sourced goods. We're highlighting them and their businesses for all of you out there who want to shop local. So we begin this final hour of our Fascinating Ohio Holiday Makers with an artist who works with metal to create jewelry that looks like art. Carolyn Bucklew is a metalsmith and member artist at Studios on High in the Short North. Welcome to All Sides, Carol.
Thank you so much for having me.
So you've been working with sterling silver, copper, gold for more than 40 years. So I have to ask, what first sparked your interest in jewelry making?
Well, when I was 11, my mother took me to take a jewelry class at Cultural Arts Center, which was at that time on Parsons Avenue. Mm. And a woman named Veda Beetler taught the class, who was very eccentric, and it was casting metal, and I fell in love.
Yeah, you attended the Columbus College of Art and Design. Mm. You have an art education degree from Ohio State, but you've also studied in France?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Quite the career. How long did you spend in France?
I was there for 3 years.
Oh, wow. How does it, you think that influences the work you create today?
Yeah. When I was there, I studied fashion design. Mm. And I think texture and the whole fashion design aspect of it was probably influential.
Yeah, there's a lot of texture and movement in your work, so I could definitely see that sort of fashion influence. Mm-hmm. So you create necklaces, rings, earrings, bracelets. How would you describe your aesthetic?
I am really interested in texture, surface texture, and love to experiment with different ways to achieve different textures and colors with the metals. So I like mixing the metals whenever I can, and movement. So kinesthetic jewelry, I love to figure out how to make something. So I spend a lot of time thinking before I actually start making something.
Yeah, you can definitely see that. If you've never seen any of Carol's work, there was this pair of what you called fold form copper leaf earrings. They're sold out right now, which is unfortunate for me, but they were stunning. And I was looking at them as somebody who has experience in the jewelry industry and trying to understand how you made them.
Well, I took the copper and I used a steel plate to create a texture on it with a rolling mill.
It's like this crinkly leaf texture. It's gorgeous.
Yeah. And then cut the shape out and I put it through a corrugator, which creates a rippled effect in it, and then opened the form up so that you end up with the leaf shape, and then finished it off from there.
And it's almost got this like glowy iridescence to it.
Yeah, that's achieved by heat patina.
Mm. You also had these patterned silver ellipse earrings that made me wonder if you are a hand engraver.
I do not engrave, but I do different forms, textures on the surface of the metal by etching or by fusing. I love to fuse shapes, and I actually have a show opening up in January at the gallery that focuses on the fused surface texture with the jewelry.
Yeah, you have a lot of jewelry that does this like swirling scroll work with different metals or different colors within the metals. And it reminds me a bit of the Japanese technique of mokume.
Yeah, I've done mokume and enjoyed it very much, but I don't use it now. But I do love the idea of fusing and marrying metals to create patterns and movement on the surface.
So how much, I mean, your price points are very reasonable. I think there was these kinetic beaded high school earrings for $75. You have some drop earrings at $100. So these are, I mean, it's not astronomical. It's definitely like $75 for a pair of like beautiful handmade earrings, I think is very reasonable.
Well, thank you. Yes, I try and keep the prices reasonable. Using gold really makes it much more expensive, yes, because it's so expensive, but I love adding that to it whenever I can.
Yeah. And where do we find your work? If somebody's like, oh my goodness, I need to get some of this for somebody before the holidays.
Yeah, well, I have a website, and I put all of my pieces on the website just to keep track of everything. But at the gallery, all of my jewelry is at the gallery, so people can order through the website or come into the gallery, and the gallery has a link with all the artists as well, and there are 20 of us there.
Yeah, it's the Studios on High Gallery in mm-hmm. the Short North, so you can go online, and if you put in Carol Bucklew like jewelry, you should probably pull up the link to the website pretty quickly.
Absolutely. Yeah,
yeah. You know, you also do commissions, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How does that work?
Well, I have done quite a few commissions over the years, and I've done wedding rings, engagement rings. I am currently working on a commission for someone who had ideas for a bracelet, and he had stones that he actually made himself.
Oh, that's neat.
And so we're kind of collaborating on how to see this whole thing through. But yeah, I love doing commissions.
Can someone bring in, like, if they have their grandmother's ring, which is not their style, or they're really never going to wear it, can they bring it in and, like, work with you to create something new?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I think that would be really fun. Like, we all inherit stuff sometimes, and either it's totally not our size, or it's not our style, and it just, like, sits in the back of the jewelry box collecting dust.
Yeah. Yeah, that's very fun for me. Yeah.
I would imagine. You also work a lot with pearls. What's the attraction to them there?
Well, I think I enjoy kind of a little bit of a monochromatic palette when I work. So the pearls work well with the metals in terms of not being super colorful or flashy. I use gemstones as well, but I like the look of the kind of monochromatic palette.
Mm. Yeah, a lot of your work really highlights your metal work more than the gemstones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and I have to say, it's very neat to look at it, because I look at it and I can tell, like, the skill and the puzzling out that it takes to put some of these pieces together, and I'm just like, damn, that is really cool.
That's fun. Yeah, I take as many classes as I can. I think part of probably the most enjoyable aspect to making jewelry for me is learning new techniques, so I'm always... I never get to the end of it.
Even after 40 years.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of your work seems to have elements of nature, leaves, mm-hmm. birds in flight.
Mm-hmm.
Is nature a big influence on you?
Nature is a huge influence. I'm an avid gardener. I love to be outside, and I love to incorporate found objects, in particular stones that I have picked up at Lake Superior, which is one of my favorite places on the planet. And so I love to incorporate found objects. And another thing that I've made over the last couple years are boxes.
Mm.
So that has little jewelry boxes, ring boxes. So it has found stones, and then the whole issue of figuring out how to construct a vessel with hinges and things that open and close and move on it.
How much do the boxes run?
I think they're $300.
Yeah, especially if they're made from... Yeah, because it just takes time. If you're like, basically hand machining all of the little pieces and parts.
Oh, yeah. I make everything. Yes, I do.
You know, when you use metal, my only concern with earrings sometimes is like how weighty the actual earring can be.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you balance that like weight against like the visual statement of a larger earring?
That's a great question. Yeah, I try I always try to keep that in mind. And so for earrings, I can use a not such a heavy gauge of metal, so I can achieve, it's not stressed like a ring would be or a bracelet. So you can use a lighter gauge metal and achieve, get some volume with it.
Yeah, some of them look very delicate. I don't know if that's the right word, but they just feel very light and delicate.
Yeah.
Even though they're large
yeah.
statement earrings.
Yeah, I think that's important. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, because jewelry ultimately, it has to function. Somebody might wear it every single day.
Absolutely.
Particularly with wedding rings.
Yeah, and it has to last a long time. Yeah.
Yeah, I think you also make bracelet cuffs, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell us a little bit about those?
Yeah, I love making bracelets because there are a lot of approaches you can take. So I had a customer come in within this last year, and she wanted a cuff, but she wanted it to open and close.
Ah.
So then I was like, oh, this is fun. I'll go home and I said, come back. I'll let you know when it's ready. And then I made three or four bracelets that opened and closed that were cuffs. And so I love, you know, they can be big, they can be small, they can be hinged. There's just limitless possibilities.
So you made three or four and then she chose one?
Uh-huh, yeah.
Oh, that's really neat.
Yeah.
That's pretty, you seem pretty prolific in your construction.
Yeah, because the process is so much fun for me, yeah.
I love that even after 40 years, you seem like you really enjoy what you're doing.
I do, yeah. Well, I am a retired teacher, art teacher, and I never got tired of that either. I always learned something new every day, and I think that's why I enjoy this so much. It's the same continuation.
So the Studios on High Gallery in the Short North also has this Art of Gifting event that runs through January 2nd.
Mm-hmm.
So I understand it features smaller pieces by member artists that would be suitable for gifting. What kind of items are you showcasing?
I have earrings, necklaces, rings, and bracelets there. And the other artists all, so there's 20 of us, they have pieces that are a lower price point that are typically smaller.
They're not all jewelry makers, right?
It's like no, everyone does something. Yeah, there's no competition with the artist members. We do have two other jewelry artists. One is a lampwork bead artist, and the other one does beautiful beaded jewelry. And she actually just got selected to have her work at the Smithsonian next year.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
She must be incredibly talented.
She's very talented, yes.
But it's not overlap because you guys have two totally different aesthetics. You're working in two kinds
Correct.
Of very different aspects of jewelry making.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Yeah. Do you have a bestseller, something that people love to buy?
I think I sell earrings more than anything, probably.
That makes sense, price point-wise, too.
Yeah.
They're just,
yeah.
They're easy, they're fun. Everybody loves a nice pair of earrings.
Yeah.
So what is the timeline for a custom piece? Because I assume at this point in the holiday season, it is too late.
Yes, that would be true. Yes. It depends on what the person wants done. So sometimes there can be a very quick turnaround. Oftentimes I don't make the same thing twice. So everything's a little bit different. And so sometimes people will see something they like, but they want it in a different size.
Mm.
And I will make something similar. So that's quicker than if I'm starting from scratch and trying to work out composition and design and all that kind of thing.
The only other thing I want to mention is that you make hair barrettes.
I do, yeah.
That is fascinating.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you make it and put it on the barrette, or do you actually make the whole barrette?
I make it and put it on a steel barrette form.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I rivet it to it. Yeah.
Yeah, they're lovely.
Thank you.
If you're looking, I think they're even fun for like a younger girl.
Yeah.
If they want something for their hair.
Yeah. No, actually now that you're saying that, I have made the whole barrette as well. I've done both, but
that is ambitious.
Yeah.
That was Carol Bucklew. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you.
Coming up, We're talking about ridiculously good salsa and the story behind its creation. That's when All Sides continues on 89.7 NPR News.
We could all use a little help navigating the news these days. The Consider This podcast wants to give you a hand. 6 days a week, we'll help you make sense of the day's biggest news story and what it means for you in less than 15 minutes. Listen now to the Consider This podcast from NPR.
You're listening to Fascinating Ohio on All Sides. I'm your host, Anna Staver. We're dedicating this hour to Ohio's fascinating makers, the people who craft unique and locally made gifts we can give this holiday season. If you've got a food lover in your life, then Vicky Noritz, the owner of Ridiculously Good Salsa, might have a gift for you. It's a Westerville-based company that sells fresh salsas, seasonings, and cocktail mixes. Vicky, welcome to All Sides.
Thank you for having me.
So you had this family salsa recipe for a long time before you decided to turn it into a business. And it was a tragedy of sorts that pushed you towards it. Can you tell a little bit about your origin story?
Yes. Several years ago, our son was in the upstate New York area with his girlfriend, now wife, and they were hit in an automobile accident by a drunk driver. My son, Andrew, ended up in the hospital there for a little over 2 weeks and then came home and spent a little over 2 weeks at Dodd Hall Physical Rehab. And because he had extensive ortho injuries, he had to come home and live with us. He was unable to work for almost a year. So he came home. I'm a part-time nurse. I knew what we needed to do to get this kid back in the game. Need to get him chopping and moving. His friends kept coming over for football. It was right around Labor Day. And we kept making the salsa. And every week I'd make it different. And the guys would go, spice it up. Don't spice it up. Add this, add that. And then they're like, you got to sell this. And I'm like, you know what? Maybe we should look into this. I mean, maybe it's something we could do. Celebrate Local had opened up. People were like, go there. Andrew had a friend who made a label. We whipped up a batch. We called to see if we could come in. I pushed him in his wheelchair. I let him do the whole prep, the whole spiel, because he was in sales. And Lynn, the owner at the time, lovely lady, ate almost the whole container and then said, yeah, I think we'll do this.
So, oh, my goodness.
So that's how we got started.
It's incredible to go from such a challenging moment to starting this whole new venture together.
Yes, I call myself the reluctant entrepreneur. We were just making salsa, just taking it to this little store once a week. Andrew and I would go in, we'd fill out the inventory sheets, and then that would be it. And then we'd work on physical rehab and all these other things. And then we had a couple other stores call. I thought, well, that's kind of interesting. And so we did a deep dive into all the things you need to do to work with an acidified product. Started doing that, talked to the Ohio Department of Agriculture, had to get those things in order, and then just kind of took off a little bit from there. Started doing pop-ups and things like that, and then came up with some other flavors.
Yeah. So you had no previous food service experience?
No, other than serving the kids dinner every night. I mean, you know, that was about it. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Did you ever imagine it would grow into what it is?
Oh, no. And we have dreams for it to grow even a little bit more than this, but I had no clue. I thought this would be something to help Andrew get through a hard time. He could, you know, the physicality of chopping, he had right arm injuries, left leg. So keeping him, you know, physically able to do this and picking up and lifting and all those things were that's all I wanted to do. And to get his mind back in the game, he'd have to think about, you know, the conversions, how much are we making, how many, yeah, this, that, and the other thing do we have to chop. That's all I wanted to do.
How's he doing today?
He's great. He works for us. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, he's awesome. He does production, and he's wonderful. Thank you for asking.
Yeah. So your salsa needs to be refrigerated. So it's fresh. It keeps for about a week. Why did you go down that route as opposed to, like, salsas with longer shelf lives?
Well, it is fresh. There's no preservatives. And it's, the shelf life is actually about 3 weeks. So you can gift it. You can send it to anybody. But when we first started doing this, everybody said, don't make a fresh sign again. Did I listen to anybody? No. So I just said, well, it doesn't taste as good. So I took a canning class and I learned how to can. And just as a fun thing to do. And then we kept trying it, giving it to our neighbors and focus groups and friends, and everybody's like, you know, it's not the same. I mean, I feel like you're trying to do what's already out there. And then we decided, well, if we can't do what we like, then we'll do nothing. We're not going to add to what's already on the shelf because it's similar. So yeah. We decided we'd stick with that. We worked with extending the shelf life. We're up to about 3 weeks. You know, fresh vegetables should go bad at some point in time. But if you put it in the cold part of your refrigerator and you keep it back there, you know, It lasts about 3 weeks.
Yeah, full disclosure, Vicky sent our newsroom a couple of their salsas, the mild, medium, and hot. And I got to say, the medium was the fan favorite.
I'm not surprised.
Because it's got a kick. It definitely has heat to it, but it's... still tastes great. I will say, even the hot, so I am not a hot salsa person. Like, my husband can eat, like, habanero slices. I cannot do that. But the hot, it was hot. It was a little hotter than I would want, but it wasn't that kind of all-consuming hot where burning is all you taste.
No, it's, we call it a flavorful heat.
Yeah.
You have a good amount of spice in there. And so we work with, we like to work with everybody local. So we work with North Market Spices for our proprietary blend of spices. And my son and I came up with that, and we worked a lot on that simply because we wanted more heat, but not to, you know, hurt you or you need a gallon of milk to recover. So
I appreciate that.
So and we actually make a flatbread pizza with that. So
That's probably really good.
It's delicious. And when you put the cheese on it, it kind of tones it down a little bit. But then we add veggies or whatever we have, and it's delicious.
Yeah, so instead of like the tomato sauce, you just spread it out. That sounds really I'm going to have to try that.
You can do it with any flavor.
Yeah, especially probably the mild for the kids.
Yes.
My kids are like allergic to spice.
Yeah.
At least at this stage
stage, yeah.
Yeah.
They'll grow.
So you also have a spicy pickle ranch salsa?
Yes. Yeah, we do. This is our newest. So like I said, we like to collab with local makers. So the Crazy Cucumber, female owned as well, has amazing pickles that we love, all of them. And we tried to figure out which one would go well with our salsa. So we did, again, experimenting, go back to my focus groups, my folks, my peeps, who, my neighbors, whoever will try it, and then give me feedback. And so we ended up with a spicy ranch pickle. And because of the pickle craze and because everybody loves pickles, this has been one of our biggest sellers. If we take it to market, which we go to market every weekend, we for sure will not have any leftover.
So where is it going market this weekend? Because this weekend is the perfect weekend if you're giving it as a Christmas gift.
It sure is. So on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, we'll be at Henmick Brewery. On Saturday morning, we will be at the Worthington Farmers Market from 9 to 12. And on Sunday, we will be with Made Local Market in Granville, Ohio, at the Granville Inn, which is an amazing, beautiful, and it's called the Last Minute Market, so you can, you know, get your last minute gifts. So we do really well at these events, and we have a good loyal amount of people, you know, just great loyal fans that appreciate what we do, love what we do, stay true to who we are. Still family owned, small batch. We're not, you know, we're not mass producing anything, but we're loving what we do.
And it's about $7 a container, so it's totally reasonable.
Anywhere between $7 and $9.
Yeah.
Yeah. Depends on the store.
And salsa isn't the only thing that you guys offer. You have cocktail mixes.
We do. This is something kind of new for us. So we had two flavors this year. We'll have five flavors next year. These are just in, because I've always made cocktails, and every year I'm always making cocktails for whatever the event is, and you can make it into a mocktail very easily. So the one we did this year was pumpkin spice, which was great. We sold out of that. And then we had, and these are small batch runs. So the other one we're doing right now that we have several left is spicy margarita. So if you're
somebody,
I'm going to say I like a good amount of spice. I'm not to the high heat out of the container yet, but I'm getting there. But it's got a little kick, but I think if you add a really good tequila to it, it just, takes it down a little bit, but I love it. And it's a nice, you know, again, no preservatives, no junk, junk-free. made with all natural ingredients, and people are loving it. And at the events, we're selling those with a smoked margarita rimmer, and you also get a recipe card. Cute little takeaway boxes you can just pick up and grab and say, hey, walk in the house and say, Merry Christmas.
Yeah. You know, you could also pick out a nice bottle of tequila, make a little like housewarming gift for someone.
Mm-hmm.
Or like a hostess gift.
Yes. And that's what we're encouraging. At this point in time, you know, a lot of people, I've had several people contact me in the past week, just come by and say, I do a porch pickup at my house. And I just need seven or eight. I'm making my own little baskets. And I think that's perfect. Do your own little thing. Add your own little specialties and favorites, cheese, crackers, whatever. Salsa goes with everything.
Yeah. You could do a whole gift basket with the salsa and chips and the margarita mix and the salt.
That's what we're going to be doing next year. That comes in January of 2025, corporate gifting.
Yeah. You also have dips now?
Pardon?
You have like a dip?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we do. We have a sweet heat dip. This is kind of a crazy thing. It's fun. It's a cream cheese base with our happy
Always
medium.
Always a good place to start.
Always. You can never go wrong with good cream cheese. And again, just me experimenting. Threw some salsa, some happy medium salsa in there. Worked with North Market spices. Got a habanero honey kind of a little seasoning. Add a little bit of sugar. This is my exception to sugar. And just make it. I mean, we just whip it up, and it is so good. And we have people who will, this around the holidays, because it's the only time I'm making it right now, will just come and say, I just came here for the sweet heat. I'm here for the sweet heat. And so, and it's kind of cool to see, because we just did it last year, but it's caught on. And it's a great thing, great for a charcuterie board, great to just a standalone appetizer. Serve it with cinnamon sticks. A lot of people like the cinnamon pitas, and it's great with fruit. So apple slices and
so it is like a little sweet tasting.
It's a there's a sweet and there's a heat.
That sounds so intriguing. It's almost like a dessert dip.
It is. It is kind of like a dessert dip, and that's we've kind of toyed with. Should we call it a dessert dip, or what do we call it? But for right now, we're just calling it sweet heat.
Can you do it with regular crackers? Is it still
absolutely
okay?
Yes. In fact, my friend who owns the Crazy Cucumber, it's her favorite thing, and she does it with the Ritz veggie crackers, which I didn't think would be good, but boy, it was really good.
Salt and sweet always go well together.
So well. Yeah, it's just delicious.
So obviously you're going to be expanding your cocktail mixes. What is next for Seriously Good Salsa?
Well, let's see. Ridiculously Good Salsa has a lot of things in mind to do. But as I said, we're small batch.
Yes.
So expanding the cocktail lines, adding maybe some more dips. I have another idea for a dip or two. Possibly a fruit salsa. The corporate gifting, I think, will be a big thing for us. We will look to different segments. I think we're going to roll this out, starting with the real estate agents, who I think could... you know, would love to give a very nice local gift. We'll include some of our friends, our local maker friends in the baskets. And we'll change up our offerings so that you always have something, you know, every quarter you have something seasonally to change to. So that's where we're going.
Yeah. Do you think, I know everything is small batch, but do you ever think you'd want to be in like local grocery stores or not to that scale?
We are in local grocery stores. So we're at Fresh Thyme.
Okay.
And we're at Giant Eagle Market Districts, and we're at Whole Foods on Lane Avenue in Dublin. We're at the Hills Market. We're at Wyland's.
Oh, that's great.
We're in Littleton's. We're on the menu at Ill-Mannered Brewing Company. That's another thing we need to look into is let's get us into some more, you know, we have quite a few wonderful bars here with great brews. So a lot of breweries, I think, that would benefit from having some great salsa and chips on their menu.
Yeah, Littleton's is a very fancy grocery store.
I love Littleton's.
I do, too. I cannot afford to shop there
every
week.
They're just the cutest things. Yeah.
No, it's a really... So where do you make all of this? Do you have your own, like, kitchen now, or...?
We have shared kitchen space. So shout out to Java Central. The guys at Java Central out of Westerville have a roastery in Worthington, and they are awesome. So we just have shared kitchen space there, and we use our time every week, and then there's a couple other bakers, and then they do coffee roasting there. So it's a great community kitchen.
Yeah, I think that's kind of how it starts for so many people that make food.
It does. Yeah, it's hard to make the leap, you know, up to the big times. we want to stay true to who we are. We would like to be a good regional brand. We're, I think we're a pretty good local brand, but I think our corporate gifting will get us a little bit further, and we'll see.
Yeah, I could see that being a great gift from a real estate agent. Here's some, like, welcome to Ohio. Here's a bunch of local, like, deliciousness.
Yes, and it's different. You know, they've been giving, you know, probably a lot of baskets of processed food or chocolate and wine, which are all my favorites, too. But, you know, just a little bit of something, and we're going to be adding some of those things into our basket from some of our local maker friends.
Oh, that'll be great. So, yeah. It'll be a fully local Ohio
it will
basket.
Be. Mm-hmm. It'll be a really cool Ohio basket.
I gotta ask, like, what does it look like to order these this volume of ingredients for salsa? Like, how many pounds of tomatoes do you get a week?
That's a lot of tomatoes. Yes. So we have them deliver. So we get tomatoes. We get our produce. Most of the produce is delivered. And then some things, like, I know this is crazy, but I sort of like to hand pick my peppers. So I'll go and pick up my own peppers.
Because
I like to see what I'm getting. And I'll open every box and look and... I mean,
when it's fresh salsa, I mean, the quality of the tomato, the quality of the pepper, like, there's no masking it at that point.
There isn't. And in mass production, you just take what they drop off, what comes through the dock. And the fact that we can still pick out, you know, what we want, we know we're a premium salsa. We know that you pay for a premium salsa. We hand chop, we hand select, we do it all. But we also think that what you get is something unbelievably fresh and delicious that not only do you love, but you want to share. And I think that's probably what's helped us grow is people coming to our events. I've had people come up this summer. I'm taking this to the baby shower. I'm taking this to the bachelorette party. We're having a tailgate. I love to hear that.
Yeah. If somebody is gifting it, how long can it be, like, unrefrigerated?
So when we ship it in a really good insulated box with ice in it. So... usually, most places we ship are one or two overnights, and then our salsa, it's made to order, so we don't sit around. If you get an order, if I get an order from you on Friday, it's not shipping out till Wednesday. I'm not Amazon, and I don't want to be. But you order it, we make it, and then it goes out in the next week. So shipments go out on Wednesdays, packed in ice, depending how much ice is, depending on how far it's going.
And late to get it shipped for Christmas now.
Let's see, what's today, Thursday? If it was just an overnight ship and it was going to Ohio, we could do it tonight, if I had the orders tonight. So if you went on my website and ordered tonight.
So today's the day.
Today's the day, yes. But you could order next week and you could have it for New Year's, which would be even just as fun.
Yeah. So, you know, I think what's so fascinating is... just the origin story of this. I mean, from tragedy, such an incredible thing was born.
Correct. Mm-hmm. People are amazed. I just finished a Goldman Sachs small business, 10,000 small businesses classes. And I did not tell my story. I just didn't think, you know, who wants to hear that? It's sort of sad. And then when they heard the story, they were blown away. Like, you have to lead with the story. Lead with the story. Like, it's kind of sad. Although all is well. Five surgeries later and everything's well. But, you know, we're blessed and we know we're grateful for the opportunity that we have to share what we consider to be a really wonderful product with many people.
So one more, what is the website if we're looking to place those last minute orders?
RidiculouslyGoodSalsa.com.
And then can you reiterate some of the places you'll be this weekend if we want to come in person?
Please come and see us. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, we'll be at Henmick Brewery from about, I think Friday is 5 to 9, Saturday is 12 to 7, Sunday is 12 to 6. Worthington Farmers Market, right down the street, 9 to 12 in the shops at Worthington. And then Sunday at the Granville Inn from 10 till 3, and the inn is beautiful. So if you want to take in the city of Granville, come and have lunch or dinner. But Henmick Brewery has the greatest food trucks, and they have, I believe, 30 vendors there.
Yeah.
So, as well as the market.
That was Vicki Noritz, the owner of Ridiculously Good Salsa. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you for having me.
Coming up, we're talking with another fascinating Ohio maker who creates skincare. That's when All Sides continues on 89.7 NPR News.
We could all use a little help navigating the news these days. The Consider This podcast wants to give you a hand. 6 days a week, we'll help you make sense of the day's biggest news story and what it means for you in less than 15 minutes. Listen now to the Consider This podcast from NPR.
You're listening to Fascinating Ohio on All Sides. I'm your host, Anna Staver. Tis the season for shopping, and we want to help our listeners do that shopping locally, which is why we've been sharing fascinating Ohio makers this month. Our final guest this hour is the co-founder of Ginger and Honey, a skincare company for men and women that's based in Cleveland. The co-founder's name is Robbie Lathan, and she joins us now. Welcome to All Sides.
Thanks for having me.
So if I understand correctly, your skincare journey began, like so many of us, with a struggle to find products that wouldn't irritate your skin. You found yourself experimenting with ingredients in your own kitchen. So how did that evolve into Ginger and Honey?
Oh, wow. Do you have all day so I can explain it? It just evolved. So at the time, I wasn't a really good cook, let's just say that. So doing anything in the kitchen made my sister, who's also my co-founder, a little nervous. But my skin began to kind of reflect a lot of the turmoil I was going through in my life while living in New York City. I didn't have a job. I was just going, you know, from paycheck to paycheck. And like I said, my skin began to reflect it. So one day I just went to a market and I got a whole bunch of just natural ingredients and I began to make them in my kitchen. And what I found out was that I'm actually really good at it. It came naturally. It came easily. There was no struggle. And I frequently just lost track of time. So from our honeycomb body butter, that was the first product made about 8 years ago, until now, we have over 22 different products. That's just the evolution of Ginger and Honey from, you know, start to now.
So then the honey part comes potentially from that first honeycomb bar. Is that how you guys kind of came up with the name Ginger and Honey?
Yes, yes. And also our personalities. I'm the sweeter sister. My sister's a little spicy. So the combination just melts both worlds together perfectly.
So your slogan is, we're more than skincare, we're a lifestyle. What do you mean by that?
So it's really about the journey that you're going on. And including skincare to be more so of a lifestyle and not just, oh, like you put on makeup, something to look good for that moment, for that day. With Ginger and Honey, we're playing a long-term game and making it into a lifestyle instead of just a social media trend or a trend of this particular ingredient. We want to keep our customers forever.
And these products have names like ginger, honey, turmeric. They're all ingredients I can pronounce, lots of ingredients I would find in my kitchen. It seems like that's pretty core to your mission.
Yes, yes. Using ingredients that people know of, that they can read on the label like you just mentioned and say, I know exactly what this is. That's what drew me to use different ingredients like ginger and honey and a lot of the formulations. I knew these ingredients. I've used them, you know, for years and years, and they're all natural ingredients. So there's nothing inside of them that's going to irritate my skin.
What's the most popular item that you sell?
It will be the Holy Grail, which is the honeycomb body butter. That's just the classic. It's almost like when people place their order, they always grab one because it's just a standard staple in their bathrooms to use. And that's for the whole family.
So you also have something called the ginseng and turmeric face wash. And I'm curious, what is it about ginseng and turmeric that make a great face wash?
Oh, wow. The combination. So they mate very well together. And that's how I do a lot of my formulations. I like to mate things. I like to mate scents just to create that cohesion and that fusion. Ginseng is really good for boosting collagen and it's good for the anti-aging. While turmeric helps with brightening your skin and also just including a lot of those key ingredients to diminish dark marks, acne, inflammation. So the combination of the both is almost like the best of both worlds that you get there.
You also let people shop by skin issue, which I really loved. You can shop by dry skin, eczema, discoloration. Why did you want to group your products this way?
So it's easier, you know, on this journey, as we start to add more products to the site, you're not just going to get the body butter and just, instead of throwing all the products on there and saying, hey, good luck, right? We wanted to provide all the customers with a little bit more direction, right? Do you have dry skin? Are you struggling with eczema? Are you struggling with acne? Are you looking for anything anti-aging? So we wanted it to be a little bit easier for the customer journey when they do hop on our website, or, you know, even when they go into our brick and mortar store in Ohio City.
Yeah, you have a caffeine infused lotion for aging skin, and I'm curious how that works.
Oh, wow. So this is the fun part. I actually made that after I had my daughter. She was a massive baby and I'm very, very small. So I had a lot of sagging skin, stretch marks. So that particular formulation was crafted over 6 years ago. And what caffeine does, I mean, think about it. When you wake up in the morning, you need a boost. It helps with that blood flow and that blood circulation, and it helps firm and tighten the skin over time. So I said, well, what about this particular combination of honey, coconut oil for a lot of the stretch marks, and then caffeine to kind of firm it all together? And it works very, very well over time.
It makes me wonder if my morning cup of coffee is also anti-aging.
Debatable, but we'll go with it.
That's okay. I guess I can just like rub it on me instead. No, I have heard of people making like homemade skin masks using coffee grounds. So it like definitely fits with that narrative.
Absolutely.
I also think it can be preventative. Like I joke that I like basted myself like the Thanksgiving turkey when I carried both my daughters in it, the anticipation of not getting stretch marks, right? You just like, I was like, if I'm super moisturized, maybe I'll fare better.
Right. I mean, and the thing is, what I don't want people to be afraid of just what happens in life, right?
Skincare,
it is a journey, you know? So although I wanted to get rid of my stretch marks, I wanted to use something on my skin to kind of help it with the aging process and help it expand with the elasticity, because it's a journey. Your skin is already perfect. We just help you notice that first, and then we make it better as well with our products.
You also have a skin toning body butter that's supposed to help with dark spots. And I was curious, you had an ingredient I could pronounce, but I didn't know. It was called allocin. I don't know if I'm saying that correctly.
Yes, allocin. So that particular ingredient actually comes from the aloe vera plant.
Oh, okay.
If you see it's you know, A-L-O-E, right? So if you get a cut on your skin or, you know, sunburn, the first thing you normally will go to is aloe vera, right? Sunburns, you get aloe vera because of the cooling effects. And aloe vera actually has that ingredient, allocin, in it, which helps with hyperpigmentation and dark marks. So for people who struggle with eczema, severely dry skin, they bruise easily, that honeycomb body butter has the allocin in it. I actually grow the plant and I actually extract the aloe vera from the plant and use it in the product. So it helps out with your overall toning and coloration of your skin as well as hydration.
Oh my gosh. So it's very local. You grow the aloe yourself.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That's incredible. I also saw you use lactic acid in your in some of your products. That's like milk derivative, right?
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. It's very, very good. People shy away from lactic acid because it has the word acid, and it's you get a little, you don't really know what it is, but. One thing I pride myself on is actually educating customers on what some of these ingredients do mean if they are kind of formula, you know, for not yeah. formula, foreign to you. Lactic acid really helps out a lot with the skin. It's a really great ingredient, especially in soap bars.
You also have products for men like beard oils, which I think can be really important, particularly for guys that are growing longer beards.
Yes. The beard oil is really one of my favorites. And that's because I actually use it in my hair. That particular formulation was actually because my hair was falling out. I had alopecia severely. So that formulation helped stimulate my scalp and grow it back. So I said, well, why won't it work for beards? You know? So that's a really popular product amongst men. And like I said, I have tons of videos on TikTok, Instagram, of me actually putting it in my hair. And my hair is almost tailboneless now. So it has grown back due to that particular beard oil.
Oh, wow. That's great to know. So it's for more than beards.
Yes.
You even have a Cleveland Browns themed body butter that is, quote, perfect for the diehard fans who want to keep their skin in the game no matter the score, which I loved.
Yes. That's one of my favorite products to create because we have the fans select the scent every season. We change the scent every season.
Oh, okay.
So the scent is completely different, and we'll have the fans actually just select the scent. And it has mango butter, cocoa butter, coconut oil in it, and also shea butter. And if you actually get the body butter and you look inside, it's the browns color. So you have the brown, the orange, and the white.
What's the scent this year?
So this particular scent was more so like a sweet vanilla cinnamon with a hint of citrus. So I had to, it was hard to mate the, you don't really don't mate fruity and vanilla. It was really hard to mate it, but that's the scent they wanted, so that's the scent they got.
So it smells great, even if the Browns aren't playing great.
Yes. Let's not talk about that holiday cheer, right?
Yeah. So if someone were to buy a few of your products as a gift for somebody who maybe isn't into skincare, or maybe they're a teen just getting into skincare, what would you recommend as like a starter kit?
I would absolutely recommend the Bare Honey collection as a starter kit because you have your face wash, you have a toner, you have a day cream and a night serum. So it's the easiest, to buy, just to grab. And then you have all your grounds covered if you have acne, if you're trying to firm and tighten your skin over time, hydration. So I would recommend that particular product. But for like the holidays, I would recommend our Bedtime Honey collection. We only do that once a year. And it comes with a candle, a hydrating cream, and a pillow and room spray. And it's all lavender and vanilla based. So it's like a favorite. We sell out all the time. But I would definitely say that is like the holiday favorite for us.
So your store is up in the Northeast Ohio area. How do we get it here in Central Ohio?
Oh, you just go online. So you can go to www.gingerandhoney.co. And I actually have a coupon code for all of your listeners. It's all sides 20, and you get
Oh
20%
my
off
gosh.
anything that's on the website if you're tuning in today to listen.
Oh,
But
that's
you can
great.
get it, and we will ship.
That is so great. All sides 20. Yeah, because
Yeah.
I was eyeing that honeycomb body butter. It looks really good.
It's amazing. And you'll have it for a while because a little goes a long way.
Oh, that's good to know. So also then don't like dig a huge scoop of it out and just
You'll
start
be
slap.
upset. You'll say, "Oh my goodness, this is spreading." You'll start putting it on people in your house because you're trying to get it off your hands.
Do you think we can get it here, shipped here in time for Christmas?
I'm not going to say 100% yes, and I'm not going to say 100% no. We are shipping every single day. So we've been shipping every single day for the past 2 weeks to get things to people in time for the holidays. But yeah, we will, if you order today, we will ship out today. So you will get it as soon as it ships on out.
Yeah, and if and for those who are celebrating Hanukkah or other seasonal holidays, you get a little more time. Hanukkah actually starts Christmas Day this year, so it'll go all the way through that following week. So you definitely would have it by like the fifth or sixth night.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah, so how do you come up with new products? How do you like do you is it a lot of testing and trying out and experimentation?
I would say yes. That's the only, I'm just going to be honest, that's the only part I like is actually creating the formulation. That's where my creativity actually comes in the part. Everything else is just stuff I have to do to continue to run the business. So I like crafting the products, and it really starts, what issue am I having? And then my friends, and then people see people online, I see what issues that they're continuously having or what they want, and I try to design a solution using all natural ingredients and products. And what I do is I test them on myself first, and then I have a group called Ladies of the Hive. So I send them a lot of the testers if they're in having that same issue, and they test it out, and then from there it goes to market.
That's awesome. So, one more time, it's gingerandhoney.co, correct?
Yes, gingerandhoney.co.
And where is your actual physical store for those of us that may be up in Northeast Ohio?
Okay, so we are in Ohio City at City Goods. So that is the address is 1443 West 28th Street. So it's right in the heart of Ohio City. They have tons of vendors there. So we're not the only vendor there. There's over 50 other vendors.
Oh, wow.
In that particular shared space. They have local wine vendors that are there. You can do clothes, photo. I mean, everything is there. We're just one of the many wonderful brands that are a part of that community. So if you are in the Cleveland, Ohio and Ohio City area, you can do all of your shopping literally in one spot there.
That was Robbie Lathan, the co-founder of the Cleveland-based skincare company, Ginger and Honey. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And thank you all for listening to All Sides on 89.7 NPR News.